It's the Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Trace Gillis, along with Senator John Braun, the Senate Republican leader. And, you know, it's interesting. I go over to the wall, I flick the switch, lights come on. It's pretty consistent. Actually, it's a pretty amazing achievement. But behind that switch is a massive infrastructure. And providing power to people isn't as easy as it may seem. And there is a good chance that our state at some point soon may not have enough power to go around. And so that's what we're talking about today. In your own district, Senator Braun, in the Centralia area, TransAlta coal-fired plant is shutting down, the coal portion. But they're actually transforming it to something else. Maybe let's just start with that. What is the TransAlta plant, and what significance does it play in the overall world of power generation here in Washington State?
Yeah, so there's a big issue, and one, as you mentioned with your comment about the light switch, very few people really understand just how much work and how much effort goes into getting that power to our homes, to our businesses, to our schools. And it all seems to happen magically, but it's a long way from magic. So we have had coal-fired electricity production in our state for decades. The last plant happens to be in my district, actually just over the hill from where I live, and it is scheduled to shut down at the end of this year. And that's an agreement that was made clear back in 2011 that involved running them out for another roughly, 15 years. The first plant shut down at the end of 2020, and then the second plant scheduled to shut down at the end of 2025. And you have to understand, this is 1,200 megawatts of power that is real baseload power, meaning it's not a solar system. It's not a wind-powered system that may be working one day and not working the next. This is power when you really need power. It's going to be there. And we're headed, of course, into the coldest months of winter. And there's a recent, before I get into the conversion, I want to talk, there's a recent study out commissioned by the independent power providers in our state to look at, do we have enough capacity to meet our need? And that's based on several things happening. You know, if we went for decades in Washington State and around the country with power requirements either flat or in some cases declining, and now because of additional power needs for mostly for data centers, for AI, for electric cars to a certain extent. Our energy needs are growing in Washington State and around the country for the first time in decades. And at the same time, there's this effort to switch to clean and renewable energy. But there's only a few options. Hydro, of course, we've had in our state for a long time, and that's really the backbone of our electricity system. But a lot of restrictions on increasing that. And then solar and wind have grown, but they're just not always there when you need them. So we have a real issue. As the study found, there's a real issue in the future when it comes to baseload in difficult situations like extended cold snaps during the winter, like we're headed into. So hindsight being 2020, deciding to shut it down December 31st is maybe not the best thinking, but that's what's scheduled to happen. There's a few other developments we should talk about there, but TransAlta, the company that owns it, it's a Canadian company, and they announced a few days ago, or I guess a week and a half ago, they're making plans to transition it to a gas-fired plant. That's great news. And I wrote about that recently. It's not going to be the whole 1200 megawatts. I think it's like 700 megawatts, but that's real power that will be there when you need it in the wintertime. So, I know that was a long answer to your question, but there's a lot of moving parts behind that light switch, as you say, that make this happen. We need this transition if we're going to keep from running out of power in Washington State in the future. Challenge is it's going to take a couple years to make that transition. So it's not like it's going to happen immediately. We got to get through this winter and I think next winter before we have that backup plan.
Do you think it was too soon to shut down this coal fire plant? Do you think we still need coal to produce energy in this state?
Yeah, I don't think this is the best plan. I mean, I'd say a couple things. One, the plan laid out, 15 years ago. And I think they tried to do it as carefully as they could. But yeah, since all the developments since then, I think it might be, I don't think, I'm confident it's risky to shut it down. That might end up with a lack of power. It might end up with blackouts or brownouts. In fact, I don't know if you saw this, but 2 days ago, kind of a surprise to everyone, the federal government issued an order, an executive order, telling TransAlta that they had to stay online for the next 90 days and be prepared to deliver power if called upon. Now, that order, I think their intention is correct. They're worried that we're going to have blackouts or brownouts during the coldest months of the winter. But it wasn't, nobody knew that was coming, not TransAlta, certainly not me, state government, everybody that's worked on this, the UTC, they had no idea this was coming. So there's a little bit of a scramble to figure out, what does it mean? Is it legally binding? Logistically, can they do that? I mean, they've been planning to shut down for years. There's no coal on site. Their coal pile has literally been, they're using it up because they know they have to turn it off. They don't have a path to sell the power. There's no contracts. The contract with Puget Sound Energy expires at the end of the month. So there's a whole bunch of questions, including, employees who are expected to, turn the lights out at the end of the month. That's going to have to sort itself out in the next couple weeks. I don't know how that'll be. If we could keep it available through the winter, I think there's value there. I don't know if they can logistically. What I don't want it to happen is slow down the change from coal to gas, because I think that is a more stable, viable option long term, both economically and politically. So that's my only real concern, is we don't want to slow down that transition. Flip side of that is that transition, as I said earlier, is going to take a couple of years. So I don't think it's likely to slow down that transition anyhow.
Well, that's the only coal plant in the state of Washington. Washington depends on coal from plants outside of the state that are also scheduled to come offline in Montana, right?
Yeah, so the coal strip, I think over in Montana, they still have coal-fired plants. Some of them are coming offline. Some of them, just from a statutory perspective, there's laws that say the power companies can no longer use them. So they may still be able to make power, but there's penalties if they use the power. So it's a mix of things, but we have quite a lot of energy power currently used, today used by the state of Washington, that's not going to be available here in less than a month. It's a very concerning situation to be in. And you may remember just 2 years ago, we had that cold snap in late part of January. And we were really close in several parts of the state to a blackout. They were out of power. In fact, some people say at the same time they had some issues down in California that meant they had extra power, and we were able to draw some of that power up here. Otherwise, we would have had to turn the lights off in Seattle. That's a big deal. People get hurt. There is physical risk to people if you turn the power off in the middle of the winter. They can't just turn on their, start their wood stove or their backup heating system. There is no backup heating system. So that's a really big deal, and I think we're going to be at some risk. I different people will estimate the risk differently, but I think any reasonable person would say it's not zero, and it's growing. The more we turn power off, the more we refuse to use certain types of power before we find a suitable replacement.
The reason these coal plants are going offline, or the power companies can no longer use power from coal, is because of concerns over pollution. Essentially, where do you agree with that to a certain extent? I've also been told that coal really isn't viable anyway, that natural gas is a much better solution at this point. Do you agree with that? Do you think coal still plays an important role, or is it time to get rid of coal?
Yeah, I think that we're on that path. It's going to be hard to turn around at this point. I am personally a fan of natural gas. I think that's a very efficient, affordable way to provide base power or backup power to our energy system. But there are places in the world, our our allies and our longtime allies in Japan, they have some of the cleanest power plants in the world run by coal. So there are technology solutions to using coal. In the case of Washington and broadly in our country, that ship may have sailed. Most of the coal plants are shutting down or transitioning to gas. So I'm not sure we can back that up. But from a technology standpoint, there's certainly a path that is clean and keeps the carbon emissions low. We just have, as a country, have decided to go a different direction. And if that direction includes gas, I'm okay with that. If that direction just relies on wind and solar being available when you need them, I think that's way too much risk to take.
Well, it seems that most people who understand the grid understand that that solar and wind alone and hydro aren't going to cut it. I mean, you mentioned that base load. What that means is something that can churn out energy constantly. If it's not, I mean, there are a lot of people in this state, Democrats, who want to get rid of natural gas as well. So if it's not natural gas, it's not coal, and realistically, you can't depend on the other sources. Nuclear?
Nuclear is a very viable option. I as you may remember, I served in the Navy, trained in nuclear power on a submarine, so I'm pretty familiar with nuclear power, and I have a lot of confidence it can be built out and used safely and long term. It's certainly clean. It's certainly very reliable. It is expensive to build and run, so it's not necessarily the most economical, but it's a viable, clean, dependable power source that we should be exploring. And we are moving forward with that. There's both some public and a lot of private money that's invested in putting a series of small modular nuclear reactors over in the Hanford area. I think that's probably going to take the next 8 to 10 years to get that actually built out. So it's not very fast. I have encouraged folks to look at the site at TransAlta as another spot for nuclear power. It has all the It meets the requirements. It'd be a great addition to the power grid. And frankly, it'd be a great, locally, from a local standpoint, it'd be a great asset to have on the books. It would help our fire districts, our school districts, our schools, our county in terms of property tax. So there's a lot to be said for it, but it takes a lot of time. So I don't think we're going to get there too quickly, or at least quicker enough to make up for the coal plants coming offline. We're going to have to fill the gap. And my feeling is we got to fill that gap with gas powered energy production. And while the conversion out at TransAlta is not maybe the most efficient way to do it, it is a very effective and quick way to get online with some good backup power.
Well, we talk a lot about affordability around here, and I guess that's the other question. You mentioned nuclear, but I mean the expense with nuclear. It seems like rates are constantly rising. Power rates are. Can natural gas maybe keep that from getting too out of hand? Are there ways to keep those rates from ballooning? I mean, there are a lot of challenges here in Washington when it comes to power production and rates. Is that something you're looking at all?
Yeah, so there's a couple of challenges, existing challenges with gas we got to get through. One is, you know, the Democratic majorities, they don't like anything. They some have this unfounded hope that solar and wind are going to magically provide all the power we need. And when we know, you know, mathematically, you know, the laws of physics, it just isn't going to work. It doesn't. And that, I will say, you know, today the cost of I've heard this from several folks recently, the cost of both permitting and build out of building solar is actually very competitive. But it's in Washington, it's still not all time viable, even on the east side where they have a little more sun. It's not viable all the time. And if it was, we still would have to build out transmission lines to get it over here to the west side. So it just doesn't work. Gas makes sense, but we have statutory restrictions. So even if it comes online and we can build it out, we can build out a relatively good cost relative to others, there are some penalties that the the energy providers would have to pay, and that would be passed on to consumers. So we got to deal with that. There's no reason to do that, knowing that we don't really have another good way to move from where we are now to full, clean, renewable energy. The other challenge is kind of market-driven, because energy demands are growing, not just in our state, but around the country, frankly, around the world. Just getting a gas turbine is hard these days. So you might have to wait, you know, in the case of TransAlta, they're using their existing steam turbines, and they're just making steam with gas instead of coal. That's a relatively straightforward change. But if you want to do it in a more efficient way, you need a gas turbine, and you can't buy one today. If you ordered one today, you may be 5 years waiting for one. So we have some real logistics challenges in building out, even though I think that's the best option. It's certainly not an easy option.
And it comes with a cost. I mean, frankly, you
that's
know,
right.
And there are other costs. I mean, I don't know, but I think the Climate Commitment Act impacts ratepayers as well, doesn't it?
That's right. So both the Climate Commitment Act and the Clean Energy Transition Act, CETA, both affect the cost of delivering power to customers with gas. Well, but that's something we could change. The Democratic majority could make a decision to delay some of those statutory transition requirements until we're in better shape. And I hope they will. I mean, if they're serious about working on affordability, this is a very straightforward change they could make to make this building out gas more affordable in the future. The other thing I should mention is, you know, when, you know, there's private money out there to build these, and it may take time. It's not necessarily cheap, but but if you get private money to build out a gas plant here in Washington to provide this, stable power source, they're going to need, you know, 20, 25, maybe 30 years for that to pencil out. So you can't say, well, it's okay to build it, but you can only run it for 5 years, or you can only run it for 10 years. It just doesn't pencil out over time. You have to be able to amortize the cost of that construction over a longer period of time to keep the rates low for consumers.
We haven't talked a lot about dams. You know, pretty consistent. Obviously, flows change from month to month and season to season. But, you know, the dam, that's where traditionally our power has come from in this region, is from hydro, from these big dams that were built. There's been some talk over the years, although the new Trump administration, I guess it's not a new administration anymore, but the Trump administration put a halt to these plans of eventually breaching several dams on the Snake River for salmon passage. How important are those dams and the dams in our region? And is hydro still a viable producer of power in our state?
Absolutely, it's viable. It is the bedrock of our power production in our state. And for years, it's kept our power costs low. I mean, it used to be why we had so many, you know, aluminum smelters in Washington, because compared to the rest of the country, we were either the lowest, or I think the second lowest, maybe after the Tennessee Valley Authority, power producers in the country. It is not as inexpensive as it once was. That's mostly due to regulatory cost. And it has become very hard to increase dam output. You know, you know, we're not building any new dams, at least not for many years. So there, you can make some efficiency change, upgrade turbines, you know, improve the technology and get a little bit more output. And that's going to give us a little more. But one thing we can't afford to do is take these dams out. That is an enormous supply of power to our state on the east side, and it balances out on the west side. And that's just the tip of the, I mean, getting out of the energy conversation. It's also a key factor in allowing the upper, you know, that portion of the Columbia to be navigable, where the Snake drops into the Columbia. It's also key for water supply in the east side. So it's, you know, separate from the energy, there's good reasons to not be interested in taking those dams out. But from a power perspective alone, it would be catastrophic to get rid of those dams. There's no viable replacement even in the medium term. Maybe in the long term, if we get more efficient at nuclear power, they could replace. But even then, it's at a very significant cost increase to the consumer. So even if that is the case, and we're decades from that being the case, it still isn't a viable, in my view, a viable option in terms of affordability.
But proponents of removing dams say they're killing salmon, basically, that, you know, salmon is such an important species to this region. You know, what's more important, saving endangered salmon or producing power? Or does it have to be one or the other?
I'd say that's a false choice. And the facts show it. If you look at the runs up past those dams on the Snake River, they're getting better, not worse. We've worked really hard with fish ladders, with fish passage around those dams to make sure those runs have access to their spawning grounds and that they can get by the dams. And it's working. We are much better off spending our energy helping salmon work around the dams and keeping those dams in place than tearing them down and hoping for the best on not just on energy, but on environment, on water, on transportation. It's a foolish idea is what it is.
Thanks so much, Senator John Braun, and thank you for being with us today. This is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus.